Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Welcome to church. My name is Mark. If you don't know me, I'm the amazing senior pastor here, or something like that. Pay rise for her. Good to be here. We're continuing our series on He Is, and this morning we're looking at He Is the Good Shepherd. It's so interesting when we read the Bible, we bring to it our own cultural expectations and our own experiences. And I don't think we should do that this morning when we're talking about a shepherd. When I was about 10, 11 years old, I used to visit my uncle's farm. He had a farm in Wagen and he had a farm in Hopetown. And that's not what we want to think of when we think of a good shepherd. When we think of our farmers, they do care for their animals. There's no question about that. But I was reading some statistics on sheep this week in preparation for this message, which is what you do. And I'm visiting New Zealand later on, so that might come in handy as well. Any New Zealand people in the congregation this morning? Yes, come on, represent. You know, and they talk about sheep and they talk about how many sheep they're sending to the Middle East as part of the festival that they were sending there. 4,000 sheep going to Singapore at a time. They're a commodity. Oh, they are a commodity. They are a good that they produce. And so they will look after their goods. They will look after that because that is their finance. That is their way of making a living. But I don't know whether it's necessarily the way that the scripture and Jesus is thinking when he's thinking about a shepherd. So we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. What does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd? What does that mean for you? What does it mean for me? Does it mean anything at all? I think it does, because I think it goes down to how we relate to God, and what you think about what God thinks about you is actually really important. And maybe, you know, maybe you don't come to church that often. Maybe you've never really thought about Jesus very much, or maybe this is all just a bit confusing or irrelevant perhaps for you. Just listen this morning. There may actually be something here. You might learn something which might actually help. And I think that all of us want to be changed. Isn't that true? Don't we want to be better people? I know I want to be a better person. What does it mean to be a better person? And how does knowing who Jesus is help us to become a better person? Don't we all want some sense of being transformed and changed? If you think about yourself, don't you want people to say, that person is a good person? I like that person. And I think if we're going to say that, I think that understanding who the good shepherd is actually going to help us on that path. Who is Jesus? What does it mean that he is the good shepherd? Often when we get to this piece of scripture, you'll hear a lot of preachers preach, and this is perfectly acceptable and totally nothing wrong with that. They'll talk about the sheep a lot. And what does it mean to be a sheep? I don't want to talk it this morning that much about what it means to be a sheep. I mean, we are, if we say we're a Christian and we go to church, then we are a sheep. So you're a sheep. I don't know if I want to talk this morning that much about what it means to say, you're a sheep this morning. Are you listening? Because when we think about a sheep, we think about those sheep we see as we drive down to Albany or down the Great Southern somewhere, and we see the sheep in the paddock. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a sheep. But I do want to know what it means to follow the shepherd. What does it mean when it says Jesus is our shepherd? I want to emphasize this morning that part, because I think actually the Bible emphasizes that part. I don't think it's necessarily emphasizing us as a sheep. I think what it's emphasizing is Jesus as the good shepherd. And I want to look at that this morning, because I think this. If you want to be changed, if you want to be a better person, and don't we all want to be a better person? Isn't that true? Don't you want to be a better person? If you want to be a better person, then I think you need to look to the shepherd and to understand what it is about him that makes you a better person. You want to be a better person in life, in business, with your family. You want to be a better father, a better mother, a better person that cares for other people, a better leader. If you want to be better at your job. I did a funeral this week. Lovely lady, a friend one of my friends from high school, his mother passed away, and every time I do a funeral, people get up there and they talk about the person's life and they talk about this person and what effect that that person had on them. And they talk about this person and they're going through what she meant to them, what sort of a selfless mother she was and what a wonderful person she was in the community, what a good person she was, the things that we aspire to. I want you to come on a journey with me this morning, because I think if you want to be a better person, let's look to Jesus. Let's have a look at this passage of scripture. John chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gates must surely be a thief and a robber. To understand this, we need to understand the context. This is chapter 10 of John. In chapter 9 of John, there's been this incredible story where this guy who was blind, possibly blind from birth, something quite disheartening happens in that passage, which I'd never noticed before, but I noticed this week as I was reading it. He's a guy that's been blind, and Jesus heals him. Now, unfortunately, in a sense, Jesus heals him on the Sabbath. And most of you will know that you're not meant to do work on the Sabbath. And you will know that the religious leaders of Jesus' day said, you're not meant to do this. You're not meant to do something. You're not meant to heal this guy who's been blind from birth, which meant that in that society and in that culture, he was basically dependent upon everyone. You're not meant to heal this guy and free him because you're not meant to do that on the Sabbath, on the religious day. The thing that's quite sad about that passage and about that story is the guy's mother and father are confronted by the Pharisees. They bring them before them and say, what's happened to your son? Did Jesus heal him? Did he heal him on the Sabbath? And the parents show their humanity, their frailty in that moment, and they say, hey, don't ask us. He's an adult. Ask him. And they do that because they're afraid of those religious leaders. Because if they're against them, that means they get kicked out of the temple. And that's actually what happened to this guy. Now, being kicked out of the temple doesn't mean you just can't go to church, right? That's not what it meant for them. The temple was the center of their social economic life. It's where deals were made. It's where handshakes were given. It's where marriages were found and formed. It was the whole center of their whole community and the whole world. Imagine if someone said to you, you can't have this incredible network. You can't have this social fabric. You can't be in this place. You're out. That's what it meant for them. It was a big threat. And the parents disowned the son almost, let him go because they were afraid. It just seems so unfair, doesn't it? It just seems so mean. Doesn't it? That for the sake of religious law, you can't free this guy and heal him because it doesn't line up to what you think is right. And these are the religious leaders of the day. These are the ones that are meant to be pointing people towards living a better life, living a life of kindness, being a good person. This is the example that they're giving. Rules over people. Rules over people, rules over compassion and grace. This is not the example Jesus wants to give. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. There's no coincidence that this story is happening straight after that story. It's put in there for a reason. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. There's such a beauty in this scripture. If I didn't do anything this morning but just read you this scripture, there'd be something beautiful for you here this morning. Just in understanding and knowing what Jesus is like and what he thinks of you. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. When I was down in my uncle's farm at Hopetown, he'd asked us to come down. We were down there for holidays, and I think it was just a ploy to get us down there to help him do some work. But nonetheless, we were there, and I was about 11. My cousin was about 10. He had a couple of motorbikes there, and he said, you need to go herd the sheep and bring them into the where they get shorn, whatever that building's called. And so we did that. Now, we were far more interested in riding the motorbikes than what we were in herding the sheep. But I do remember I was wearing my thongs. It was a hot day. The exhaust pipe was hot on my leg. And I was having the best time as an 11-year-old that you could have herding these sheep. He had a couple of dogs, and the dogs would be snapping at the sheep's heels. And me and my cousin Matthew would be riding these motorbikes, tearing around, doing some work and helping out. Now, these sheep, right, the reason they're going into the shearing shed was because they were scared and frightened, and because they didn't know why they were being taken in there. Ultimately, it was for their own good that the wool was taken off them, and they were getting ready for the rest of summer. Whatever the reason was, it was good for them, but they didn't know that. They were going there because they were scared of that little two-stroke Honda motor and these two idiots and the dog snapping at their heels. This is shepherding. This is sheep husbandry in our day and our age. So much different to the crowd Jesus was talking to when he's giving this illustration about a shepherd and about the sheep. They're walking in front of the sheep. The sheep are following you. I'll give you $50 if you can get a herd of sheep to follow you anywhere in our day. But that's what they did. And here's the bit this should blow your mind, because it blew my mind. The Bible says there that he called them by name. The shepherds back then, many of them would actually sing. And they would sing to the sheep. And the sheep would know their voice. The sheep could be, there could be 1,000 sheep, and there'd be 100 sheep that were that shepherd's sheep. And he would sing out or call out, and the sheep would come to him. Why? Because they knew his voice. I was reading an article this week about cats and how cats know their name. Do you know that? It's actually true. They know their name, cats. Now, you would never know it with a cat, because the only reason a cat will give you anything is if you are going to give it something. The cat may know its name, but it's not coming to you unless it wants to come to you. Am I right? The most narcissistic creature perhaps in the world is the cat. The sheep knew the shepherd was calling them. And not only that, but in some flocks, the sheep had their own name. I was trying to work out what on earth the sheep's name could be. How do you name a sheep? Lamb trap, lamb stew, I don't know, lammy, shank. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. The sheep had its own name. And the sheep followed the shepherd. And the shepherd would take it to places where it needed to go, where it was safe for it to go. And it's different, so much different to our day. The shepherd would often live almost 24 hours with its flock. Often they would sleep out there to protect the sheep from the wolves and from the animals that would come and attack. And they would erect timber frames around the door to keep the wolves out. And then sometimes if they didn't have access to proper building materials, they would get thorn bushes, and they would erect these thorn bushes around their sheep to protect their sheep from the wolves. So this is the picture of the shepherd that Jesus is giving, and he's giving it to a people who understood that context. But more than that, he's giving it to a people who he wanted to describe himself, and he wanted to describe the relationship that he has with you and the level of care that he has for you. How he thinks about you, that he knows your name, that he calls you by name, that he asks you to follow him, not to be cajoled, not to be forced, not to be threatened, not to be afraid, but to follow him because you want to follow him and because you truly believe that he has the best for you. This is the Good Shepherd. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. What does it mean for you to know Jesus is talking to you? I had a quick conversation with someone this morning about hearing God's voice. And they were saying, I think sometimes I hear God's voice. I said, well, if God is speaking to you, he will only be saying good things to you. He might be encouraging you. He might be pushing you on. But he will never tell you that you're a terrible person. He will never be the accuser. He will never make you feel awful or discouraged about yourself. He will never tell you you are useless. He will never tell you you can't make it. He will never tell you you can't be better. He will instead be telling you that you are his child, that he loves you, that he knows your name. You want to hear the voice of God in your life? And I hear God speaking to me. I'm sure most of us do. The longer you go in your faith, the more you spend time reading your Bible, opening it up, praying, the more you will actually hear God's voice. And sometimes it's just some sense of a pull, some sense of a leading to do this, some sense that this is what I need to be doing next. It's almost like a hunch. This is what God is saying. And it will be positive. It will line up with the Bible. It will line up with what you know of God's character. And it will be for your best. It may sometimes be a hard word because obedience to God is not always easy. But it will be God's voice. What does it mean for you to hear the voice of the Savior calling you? Story goes on. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration, I love this. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. Well, I don't know about you, but that's my story right there. I don't always understand what God is saying. Is anyone else or is that just me? I don't understand, Lord. Help me in my understanding. You may think you'd be wrong. You may think that I've got it all together. I don't. You may think that I always know what God wants. I don't. You may think that I never doubt. I do. And there are moments all the time where I live with my humanity. I stand up before you on a Sunday confident, preaching, great, Mark's got it all together. Nothing could be further from the truth. I need always further, deeper, pushing in. So if that's you this morning and you don't understand and there's stuff you don't get, that's okay. You actually have a shared experience with the people that were in the room with Jesus. They were hearing his words direct from his mouth and they didn't understand. And Jesus wanted to take them further and wanted to take them deeper. So don't shrink back. If you've started the journey with Jesus, don't shrink back. Don't take a step back. Take a step forward. If you feel like you're not understanding something, that's okay. God only wants good things for you. Take a step forward. Seek deeper. Ask someone. Pursue God. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the Pharisee, those religious leaders, while this conversation is taking part after what's just happened, because they're hearing these words and then going, is he talking about us? Is he talking about us? Well, yeah, actually, he is. He is talking about you. They were thieves and robbers. You know, there are leaders, even Christian leaders, who want to be manipulators. And they will actually manipulate you to get you to do what they want you to do. You know, church is a volunteer organization. Whether you come here every week or whether you come here once every 6 weeks or whether you come at Christmas or Easter, it's a volunteer thing. Whether you serve, whether you give, that's all down to you. No one in our culture and our society is going to make you do anything. I can't manipulate you. I can't force you. I can't guilt you. If you're being convicted about something, well, that's then be convicted. If God is encouraging you, then be encouraged. If God is exhorting you, then you be encouraged. But don't allow anyone to manipulate you. Listen for the voice of God. What is God saying about these things? He is our leader. He's the one we look to. He is the shepherd whose voice I hear, whose voice I follow. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. They were thieves and robbers because they were stealing off the people. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Some of your versions may say an abundant life. This is what I was talking about at the start. You know, to have an abundant life, to have a rich and a satisfying life is actually one when you find out why you're here, you find out what it is that God wants you to do, and you do that. It's the path of obedience, actually, is a rich and abundant life. Because God is not interested in you being wealthy unless it's for his purpose. God is not interested in you being comfortable. He's actually called you to an adventure. God is a good dad, but he's not Father Christmas. He's a good dad, but he's not Father Christmas. Father Christmas comes along, you sit down on his knee and he says, what do you want? What do you want? Let me give it to you. That's not God. God will listen to your prayers. He will listen to you asking, and he will decide if that is something that is good for you or not. He's actually not interested in your comfort. He's not interested in your wealth. He's not interested in your prosperity. He's not interested in any of those things. What he is most interested in is that you will have a blessed life, that you will have a life full of purpose. As a father, it is not my job to helicopter my kids out of any pain or any struggle that they're going to have. In fact, the struggle and the pain may very well be the things that form them and make them into great people. The pain and the struggle, the things they have to deal with, they're going to be the things that help them to grow. Even from a young age. But certainly as they grow, you watch them, you observe them, and you see them in pain and you see them in struggle and you think to yourself, I need to remove them from this. They're in pain. No, pain is not the worst thing in the world. Struggle is not the worst thing in the world. You may be going through pain. You may be going through struggle. What is it that God wants you to get out of that? What is it that he wants you to do? What is God's economy in those things for you? Obedience, even when God is not playing his part. It's almost like sometimes we have this bargain with God. God, if you do this for me and you do that for me, then I'll do this for you and I'll obey you. That's not how it works. The good shepherd says, come, follow me. I will lead you into good pastures. The rod and the crook that the shepherd had, Psalm 23, the rod is there to wave off the wolves and those things that will come against you that will destroy you. He will protect you. The crook is there to get the sheep and to bring them back into line when they need it. And we need it. You need that. I need that. I want to be accountable to Jesus. Do you want to be accountable to Jesus? Do you want Jesus to be your Lord? Do you want to say, yeah, okay, Lord, I am accountable to you? Is that what you want? I want that. I want to be accountable to Jesus. I want him to be my shepherd. If he says to me, right, we're going this way, I say, all right, let's go. But Lord, that's a dark valley. Yeah, but even in the presence of your enemies, you'll be feasting. Even when you go through the dark valley, I'll be there with you. That's what I want. I reckon that's what you want. Obedience is difficult. Obedience means it's not always convenient to do what God wants us to do. But it's what he's calling you to. That's the best place to live. The best place to live. You know, the shepherds sometimes would do this. They would see a sheep going out of the way. All we like sheep have been led astray. And they would go and they would grab that sheep. You know what they would do? They would break its leg. It sounds so awful, doesn't it? The sheep's wandering off, so I'm going to break its leg. Do you know what they do then with a sheep? Some of you may know. They would then put that sheep whose leg they had broken onto their shoulders, and they would carry that sheep until that leg was healed. Do you see? He may break you, but he'll also carry you. He may break you, but also he will carry you. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to obey him. He knows that is the best way for you to live your life, an abundant life. But it may not look like what you think it's going to look like. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. Next bit. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Just let these words. This is Jesus for you. This is what your God is like. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Do you ever doubt Jesus' intention? Like, if his intention is right for you, if he truly wants the best for you, then why wouldn't you follow him? Why wouldn't you? Because a good shepherd sacrifices his very life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't the shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and he doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too. They are in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there'll be one flock with one shepherd. There's something in this scripture which, when I read it, it just blew my mind. Same, same, but different. Same, same, but different. What does Jesus say here? Let me find it. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I want you to think for a moment about what he's saying there. Jesus is saying, the relationship that I have with my Father, what's the bit before? I know my own sheep and they know me. The relationship that Jesus has with God the Father is the same as a relationship that he has with us. This sense of communion, this sense of strong fellowship, this sense of intimacy, this sense of knowing you. I think sometimes when we're in a struggle, when we're in struggle town, when things are not good, when things are not going well, it's then that we doubt that Jesus knows us and sees us and cares about us. I think it's in that moment we say, "Where are you, God?" And in that moment, and that's human to do that, we are then questioning God's love for us, his community with you. But what does he say? Just as I and the Father are one, so you and I are one. He breathed life into you. He made you a human being. And the depth and the intimacy of the relationship that he has with his Father, that's the type of depth of intimacy that he actually desires to have with you. I mean, that is mind-blowing. But he's a good shepherd. I wonder if you know him. I wonder if you know him. I wonder if you sense and feel and hear his voice. I wonder if you've doubted. I wonder if you strayed away. I wonder if maybe God is just pulling you back, saying, come back, or maybe come for the first time. Listen for his voice. Cultivate his voice in your life. Don't allow this incredible opportunity you have in life, because you can choose to pursue this. You can choose to pursue wealth. You can choose to pursue security for yourself. You can choose to pursue so many different things. But in the end, they will not give you abundant life. In the end, they will not give you this sense of goodness that Jesus has given to us. They're actually not the way to live our lives. The way to live our lives is to live a life where we accept that there will be discomfort. We accept that there will be inconvenience. Where we accept that things will not always go fantastically well. There will be perhaps even persecution. There will, in fact, be trouble. There will be struggle. There will be strain. We'll have to make choices. But ultimately, following Jesus, following the Good Shepherd, he will bring us to that place. He will bring you to that place. He will. He has your best interest at heart. Father, thank you so much this morning for your word, which makes the path to following you so clear. Thank you, Lord, so much that you have not left us alone. Holy Spirit, I want to ask and pray right now in this moment that you will minister to each soul. I want to pray this morning if there's someone here today who has not yet called upon your name. May today be that moment, that step where they step toward you. Where they understand perhaps for the very first time that you are their good shepherd. You want good things for them. Lord, I want to pray against any spirit of rebellion, any spirit of disobedience. Because ultimately, Lord, we want to obey you. Rest in your comfort. Rest in your grace. You're so good to us, Lord Jesus. You are so good to us. Even when we're discouraged, even when we're faced with realities around death and around suffering, as Karen was sharing about having to put people into a home, discouragement. Not everything is good all the time, Lord. Lord, not everything is good all the time. Sometimes things, Lord, are just lousy. Yet ultimately we know that you will lead us to good pasture. You will lead us to green places. You'll bring healing. You'll bring life. You'll bring joy. Father, I want to pray this morning for those, particularly, Lord, I want to think of those this morning in broken relationships. Lord, will you bring healing to those relationships? Will you bring truth into those innermost places? Lord, for those that have strayed far away that we are concerned about, for those who we prayed for years, have heard the word, have heard the truth. Lord, Holy Spirit, will you speak to that person right now, Lord Jesus? I just want to speak prophetically into that right now. There's someone in your life, someone in your family, someone who you know and you can see is astrayed so far. Right now, I pray for them in Jesus' name. They will come back and know the truth and submit, that they will bow the knee. If there's people here this morning who haven't yet said yes to you with all they have, or maybe there's people that we love and we know who haven't yet said yes to Jesus and our heart aches for them. Lord, you see them and you hear our prayer and we believe in the power of prayer. Lord, will you call them by name? Lord Jesus, call them by name. You are the eternal, almighty, infinite God. You have eternity at your hand. Call them into your presence. Call them into your flock, Lord Jesus. Lord, for every one of us, Father, we just confess now that there are moments where we have strayed, where we haven't obeyed. Sorry, Lord. Encourage us and exhort us and challenge us each one, we pray. Lord, in this coming week ahead, may we find moments to rest in your holy presence, to rest in your grace, that the Holy Spirit will peace and comfort to our hearts and to our minds. We love you, Lord. What a blessing, what an opportunity it was to be here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.